Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We're coming back at you with another mini episode. We are doing one a week for the month of September, and we'll be back full-time with our fall season in October. But in September, for these mini episodes, we are doing a series for those of you that are either shopping for your first RV or seriously shopping for your second or third RV. It's just walking through the entire process. So on last week's episode, we talked about five questions that you should ask before you buy an RV, your first RV or any RV. This week, we're going to give you 10 tips for finding the perfect RV model and floor plan. And this episode and all of our fall mini episodes are exclusively sponsored by our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
It's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone Park, and you'll want to go to jellystonepark.com to make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you, preferably for an upcoming Halloween weekend.
Because there are still some spots open,
folks.
I looked around.
There's also cabins still open, all right? So we know that based on personal experience, and we're not going to let the cat out of the bag about why we know that, but we know that. So pick up the phone.
Well, I looked recently at a Jellystone, and there was like a couple of cabins, a couple of RV sites, and I'm saying like two.
Right. And if you haven't experienced a Halloween weekend before, it is really such a fun family experience. It's way more fun than trick-or-treating around your neighborhood, and you will want to definitely have that experience with your kids.
And for we are in the Northeast, I mean, the September and October weather is beautiful for camping. We love fall camping the most.
All right. So let's dive into our 10 different tips for finding your perfect RV model and floor plan. Because last week we talked about figuring out which RV was good for you. But really, that was all about deciding between maybe a travel trailer, a fifth wheel, a motorized unit, a Class B, right? Like, really trying to swim through all of those different categories. But even once you narrow down and you go, okay, we definitely want a fifth wheel, Right. There are so many options, it can become really
like
overwhelming.
Saying like, yeah, I've narrowed it down, I want a 36-foot fifth wheel. Well, there's still like 100
so
floor plans.
Many.
Honestly, it can drive people mad.
And I think that it really is not a good idea once you've narrowed it down and say, I want a 36-foot fifth wheel, to just go wander through fifth wheels until you think you found the one that you want. And the reason why that's not a good idea is because we're going to be honest, through experience, talking to people, and also through our own buying experience, walking through RVs is important. But when you're in the RV, when you're at the RV show, when you're at the dealership, you can actually miss a lot of things. It's a little hard sometimes when you're in an RV to hit all the spots, right? To be like, oh, does this have what I want in the kitchen? Does this have what I want in the bathroom? It's actually more important, I think, to hit the pause button and make your own punch list for an RV before you even dive in shopping.
Well, we've met people who go to like the Hershey RV show thinking they're going to narrow down their options, and they walk away
more confused than
they've ever been.
For sure. All right. So number one, please, before you do anything, just like last episode, we said know your budget. Well, this time we're going to say know your numbers.
And we've done some great resources on this issue before on the podcast. So we had Mark Polk on for an episode about matching trucks to trailers, and we would you know, Stephanie, we would really thank you if you'd put that in the show notes for us. That is a really excellent episode to go back and listen to. And then also we did an episode on great SUVs for towing RVs. And we also got into a lot of the technical information about that.
Yeah. You want to dive in and take the time to do your research on your tow capacity of your current tow vehicle, if that's what you're getting. And also, this is the number that a lot of people miss, your payload capacity for your tow vehicle. If you're buying a towable, a lot of people don't realize that your payload capacity is as important as your tow capacity.
Totally. And they often get your payload often gets maxed out first. And a lot of first time buyers don't even look at that.
Yeah.
So they end up in trouble right away on that first pairing that they make.
And then also, if you're planning on towing a vehicle with a motorhome that you're purchasing, you'll want to make sure that the motorhome that you purchase can easily tow that vehicle, right? Because that's a thing too. A motorhome is going to have a tow capacity for what you could throw on the back. And if you're going to be climbing up mountains in, say, Colorado, it's really important that you're pulling the right, you know, towed.
These are costly mistakes when you make them.
Yes, that's the
thing. I wouldn't tell you to blindly go onto any RV forum and ask questions, but I would invite you to do that on ours, on the RV Atlas group, because people are friendly and thoughtful and patient. And if they're not, we'll zap them and get them out of the group. But you will hit a point of frustration if you're new to this whole process where you get really confused about the numbers. Don't despair at that point. Push through it. Keep learning. Keep asking questions, and you'll come out a really educated consumer and make a good choice.
You're 100% correct. It is difficult to find your numbers. And if you found your numbers through a Facebook group and you just went with that, or through the person at the RV dealership, that's not really knowing your numbers. You really do need to know your specific vehicle. That's tricky. But again, like Jeremy said, you need to soldier through and really get
You need the numbers for the exact truck you're buying,
the
numbers for the exact RV you're buying, and then you need to make a safe calculation about whether they're going to work well together. And that episode with Mark Polk will really, really help you figure that out.
All right, number two, you're going to want to decide ahead of time how many dedicated beds you want, okay? We talked about this in the last episode, buying an RV for the people who will always be traveling with you. Anyone extra, you know what? They'll love the jackknife sofa.
Little cousin Joey's not going to come camping as much as you think.
Or even for our kids, like, we're not going to buy an RV for them to bring friends camping. If they want to bring friends camping, we've got great tents from Cabela's, and we're just going to, you know, if there's too many kids to fit in the RV, they can get in a tent outside.
Stephanie, you made a great point right before the show that I want you to bring into the show. We've always kind of sworn by having a dedicated bed for every family member that's part of our permanent family unit that is going RVing.
We have three kids. We have three kids. New listeners,
and our White Hawk had four bunk beds, so all three boys had a bed, and Maggie had a bed. And then we bought the toy hauler, thinking that every kid had a dedicated bed because we have bunks, but then also the large Happy Jack bunk. But you feel like that large Happy Jack bunk really isn't a dedicated bed because it does have to be kind of raised up and lowered down.
It doesn't have to be raised up and lowered down, but if you want the toy hauler to function as a livable space during the day, then yeah, you do raise it up. And that does take, I would say, under 5 minutes. It's not a big deal. It's also not a big deal to make and unmake a Murphy bed. That takes seconds. I mean, we've stayed in Murphy units and we've been testing them for trailer life, Murphy bed units. It also doesn't take a long time to pull out a Happy Jack
sofa.
But
the dinettes can be
a little more complicated. Right. I think that what you want to do is understand that most people are driven to the point of distraction when they purchase an RV where they have to make and unmake a bed every single day. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people, it drives them crazy.
Not everybody, but plenty of people.
But then there's other people that it's totally worth it for them to stay small, right? Like, they might have two kids, but they're like, no, we're going to stay small. We want to stay in like this hummingbird. So we're going to make the dinette up for them at night.
What if your kid is old enough to fold the bed up themselves every morning?
And that's the thing that I think we've kind of come out with. Our older two are 10. They'll be 11 by next camping season. And I really feel like we've gotten to the age right now where things are a little bit less of a big deal. Like, in that department, they're much more independent. There's other things that are a big deal.
Now they can really hurt each other when they fight.
But, you know, like, when we were traveling out in South Dakota, we had a rental. where we had the jackknife sofa, and it just was not a big deal to throw out a blanket and a pillow on the jackknife sofa.
We didn't even have to pull it out for him. No, he would just sleep on the couch.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, everybody's going to be different that way, but you really should be aware that most people are driven to distraction by having to make and unmake a dinette every night. It's brutal getting those cushions together, and they're honestly not comfortable.
They slide around a lot.
Yeah, they're really not very comfortable.
Because we've slept on a dinette that was turned into a bed, and sometimes the cushions, though they look like they're going to stay in place, they kind of move around a little bit. All right, so our third tip, decide in advance on whether you have to have a wet bath, a dry bath, or no bath. Like, where do you stand with the bathroom issue? Now, for most of us looking at full-size travel trailers and fifth wheels, you're going to get a nice dry bath, and this is not going to matter. But for those of you looking at smaller trailers or Class Bs,
truck campers,
pop-up campers, for goodness sake, like, can you survive without a bath? Are you okay with just like putting a Thetford toilet in the pop-up, or is it something you have to have? Can you, like, you hate dry baths. You hate wet baths.
I loathe wet baths. I really love a lot of the smaller trailers that are out there right now, but I honestly, hand to heart, don't think that I could stand a wet bath.
They've never bothered me.
We had one when we had the pop-up, and you would like take a shower in there and I'd be like, are you out of your mind? Like, I went to the bathhouse, and if the bathhouse was gross, then like I kind of went without a shower. I think it was the
primary reason you wanted out of the pop-up.
Oh, I'm sure it was, because I really loved the pop-up. No, yeah. Setting up and breaking down the pop-up was my pain point, and the bathroom. Nothing else. Everything else I loved about the pop-up.
We've had people like shopping for used pop-up campers who say, oh, I have to have the wet bath option. And I'm like, well, why don't you just buy a Thetford toilet and take a shower at the campground, you know, call it a day. All right. Tip number four. This is important, and it's kind of hard to decide before you are an RV owner, but it's something worth thinking about. Decide if you want to do some boondocking, or if there's the possibility that you might want to camp all four seasons, or at least like late into the fall and start early in the spring.
Yeah. Talk about our pop-up camper. That was something that we didn't see coming, right? Like, we bought the pop-up not knowing how we would camp, and we ended up wanting to push our camping season. We live in the Northeast, and we were like going camping in November, and we ended up like
27 degrees at night,
freezing babies in the middle of the night. Like, it was not a good fit.
Now we live in New Jersey, and now November and December are like totally live parts of our camping season. I mean, we take the RV out in November and December.
And the way that RVs are made currently, there are so many good year-round, they call them all-season campers. There's a lot of different things that can mean. So don't think that that phrase means a certain thing across the industry. Oftentimes it refers to an enclosed underbelly. Okay, that's an important part. But then some campers, like the Northwoods, are really made for like the, you know, lake, like fishing,
heated,
ice fishing in Minnesota.
Thick insulation.
They have actual heated tanks in some of them, right, that will really get you through the winter. So if you're imagining, like, if you're one of those people that imagines maybe taking this to hunt camp, right, or skiing or something in the winter, then consider those things very carefully.
That's going to be another serious research point for you. You've got to really look into the capability of that RV in the cold winter months.
You also want to look at the size of the tanks, right? If you want to boondock, right, that's something that is first or even second time buyer sometimes don't realize how important and how much tank size varies from unit to unit.
Right. Let's say boondocking and dry camping. Like, so for instance, we love the fact that our toy hauler has like 60 to 70 gallon black tanks and gray tanks, because we do like to dry camp at somewhere like Assateague Island State Park for 4 or 5 nights. And our tanks are big enough that if we can serve a little bit, and we, you know, use the bathroom at the bathhouse during the day, but not at night, we can go 5 nights on our tanks.
Right. And we also have solar, right? So you want to look to see if you have solar prep on a unit, or if you can get solar straight from the factory, if you want to stay at maybe state parks, or if you want to boondock. And generators, right? Generator prep is going to be another issue.
So I wouldn't buy an RV without solar prep at this point. Generally speaking, that means that it's pre-wired, and so it's easy to add solar later. If it's not pre-wired, you're talking about a really expensive job for your dealer to wire it for
running
solar.
Wires to the
walls.
You're kind of
talking almost like about a $1,000 job. So many are pre-wired for solar. I just would get one that was.
And, you know, I have to say that with our first travel trailer, I kind of thought that I wasn't maybe a state national park dry camping kind of girl, right? But that's actually not true. We just didn't have an RV that was very good for that because of the fact that it didn't have big tanks. It didn't have any solar. So, you know, when we were dry camping, we couldn't really use the RV very much. But if you get an RV that's good for that, you can have the creature comforts in the middle of nowhere.
And where we're at right now is that we love doing dry camping. We boondock occasionally and we go to private campgrounds. So we want an RV that's sort of flexible and good for all of those things, which that gets kind of tricky to find that.
We're difficult. Most people, you know, you talk to a lot of people and they'll tell you, oh, I'm a state park kind of camper. Or they'll say, I'm a resort kind of camper. Many people do fall into more of one or the other category. We're weird. We do everything. So.
Well, plenty of people who are state park campers like just almost never go to private campgrounds.
Yeah. So for number five, we really want you to think about how much time you plan to spend inside the RV, right? So some people are like, oh, we just use our RV for sleeping. Like when we're camping, that's all we do. Other people.
Is that us?
No,
it's
almost
us. I know, but we don't spend a lot of time inside our RV.
We don't spend a lot of time, but I think very much we look for a more homier environment in our RV. We do. Like, think about this summer. We were watching the World Cup, you know, the Women's World Cup in the RV, like during the day because it was on at the campground. Like, we cook in the RV. I really do. I mean, yes, we cook more outside, but we do cook in the RV. We love to have family TV movie night in the RV
if
sometimes.
If it's a rainy night, we're not going out to dinner. We're going to cook inside the RV.
Yeah. And then also, too, our boys do like to play maybe a game of Uno with you at night in the RV. So
all this is true.
You're right. We do spend a lot of time outside the RV, but think about, especially when we're camping later in the season and everything, we love a cozy home in our RV. And some people don't really care about having a lot of the bells and whistles inside. But right now, we were just talking about this before we went on air. So many RVs now have fireplaces, you know.
I want one.
The fireplaces, the, you know, the TVs, the multiple TVs, the stereos. So if you're going to be spending time in your RV, you want to think, is there room for everybody to sit and enjoy the movie? How does it feel when I sit at the couch and look at the TV? That's something that people get frustrated with, right? If they get an RV where they can't really see the TV.
And I used to feel like really strict about like, oh, no TV on RV trips. And then just in the last year or so, I've realized like, my God, my kids are hiking to the top of mountains most days when we're RVing. And if it means like a movie night when we get back, like I'm totally fine with that now. I've loosened up on that.
Yeah. If you are going to eat a meal in the camper, which I really hate doing. But if you're going to, make sure everybody sits around the table and see how that feels. You know, how does that actually function for you and everything? Mimic those activities that you think you're going
to. So generally speaking, if you really are just looking for a bed that you can take with you everywhere you go, then you don't need a lot of space in there. But if you
absolutely
do think you're going to play board games, have a movie night, all of that stuff, you're going to want that space.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the next five things that we think you should think about before choosing your model and your floor plan. But first, we want to pause and thank the exclusive sponsor of these September mini episodes, Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. So if you camp with kids or grandkids, then you are definitely going to want to check out a Yogi Bear Jellystone Park. This kind of camping experience is truly unlike any other kind of camping experience.
They are just different. It's
They're
a different type of campground entirely.
And it's just become a part of the rhythm of our camping life. And it is something that our kids look forward to every single year. Like they'll ask us in the spring, which Jellystone are we going to this year?
Or can when? We go back to that one?
Or they want to, they'll put in their requests for where they want to go. They have rankings of all the Jellystones. You know, there's not like a clear winner, but
except
they'll be like,
they have the pools ranked.
Right. They
like,
have their favorite
the
pool.
Best pool.
Or their laser tag courses. They have the ones that have the best laser. The Gaga ball pits, they'll pick apart. Like, well, this Gaga ball pit has the flat surface and this Gaga ball pit has a sandy surface. They are dialed into the Yogi Bear experience and they understand that the entire thing is just about them having fun. It really is. We just go and play from dawn till dusk. We are completely exhausted.
I think they never sleep better. And I think that we never sleep
better. We fall, everybody falls into bed really exhausted at the end of the night from all of the water slides and, you know, kickball tournaments and everything else.
I'm ready for our big trip to the Jellystone Lazy River.
It's a favorite for us, and we haven't been there in a couple years.
Three years.
And I think that actually the Lazy River has one of their favorite laser tag courses. Isn't that true?
That is totally true.
I think it's up at the top, so we'll be excited. They'll be
and
excited.
That will be open while we know that the pool, sadly, will be closed.
Yeah, but that's okay because it's going to be a weekend and it's going to be all the Halloween stuff and there's going to be like haunted hay rides and pumpkin painting and all that good stuff that you want to get in the fall, but it's so hard to. I love the fact that Jellystone takes care of it all and I can like be like, okay, well, we did that. We don't have to paint pumpkins at home.
Do you know what Jellystone I have my eyes on?
I know. No.
Jellystone, Memphis.
Oh, yeah. You said that in a text the other day and I completely ignored you. I just...
she did.
I didn't even acknowledge it. I just moved on. Now go to jellystonepark.com to make a reservation at a Jellystone Park near you. Remember, it's not just a campground. It's a Jellystone Park.
All right. Tip number six. You really need to ask yourself, like, how much cooking do you plan on doing in and out of the RV? If you just don't really cook inside your RV and you like to eat out dinners while you're traveling, or you just always cook outside, even if the weather's bad, you're under the awning on the Blackstone, then the counter space isn't going to matter as much.
And you might not be so concerned with whether it has two burners or three burners on the stove, a convection oven, a microwave. Some of the smaller travel trailers will not even come along with a oven anymore, right? It'll just have the burners on there and not a propane oven. Now, on the flip side, if you're going to be doing a lot of dry camping, like you might want to really be careful and not wind up with one with a convection oven, which takes a lot of electricity. If you are going to want to do a lot of indoor cooking, you're going to really want to look for a kitchen that functions on propane, right? If you are looking to boondock or dry camp a lot.
And you want to think about that outdoor kitchen. It's such a nice feature for so many people. Like if the outdoor cooking experience is part of what you love about camping, you might want to pick out an RV that's kind of got a bomb outdoor kitchen. I miss having an outdoor kitchen in the toy hauler. I know you say you don't, but I do.
Because I think for a lot of our listeners, if you were in a pop-up already or if you were a tent camper already, you might have your whole outdoor kitchen dialed in. Like, we have a whole outdoor kitchen set up and, like, totally independent
still
of an outdoor,
it has
you know?
To be set up, and I still like having the more permanent storage space that's lockable, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that you're right that outdoor kitchens are a real bonus to some people. I think I'm right that a lot of people think they're going to use their outdoor kitchen more than they do. Can we agree on that?
I can live with that.
Okay.
Though on the White Hawk, I think you would admit we used it a lot. I should have been graceful and just let
you
that go.
You should have let
that go. That was a total jerk. That was a jerk moment. You were like, you're right about this, I'm right about that. That was a bad moment for me. Maybe you could edit
we'll
that
hit
out.
The pause button and move on from that discussion.
The seventh tip.
But wait, let's just say right now, our listeners need, this is the kind of discussion that our listeners need to be having, right? Like, we just modeled the features argument. Like, if you're a couple out there, you have to work through this before you go shopping. You know, before you decide an RV, you need to work through, like, are you going to agree on an outdoor kitchen or not?
I mean, again, it's like, you know, so just like the solar prep, you know, like so many our towables have outdoor kitchens now.
A lot of people have to decide between a bunkhouse and an outdoor kitchen.
That's true.
And I would say that most people would say sleeping is more important than outdoor kitchens.
I'm not so sure about that. Let's move on to the next point. Okay. So, seventh tip. Are you going to need to work in the RV? I mean, are you traveling a lot and you're going to be working remotely and having to check in with the office and have to do email? if that's the case, you need a comfortable space to do that. And that might just mean the dinette table.
Right.
But the dinette table needs to be a place you can sit down with a laptop.
We're not suggesting that everybody needs an office in their RV, like a dedicated office. But imagine where you're going to work.
This summer, we tested two RVs for Trailer Life magazine, and we can't say exactly what they are yet. But both, and we were working while we were living in these RVs. We had our laptops out, and both of them had really nice dinette table setups with a place to plug in the laptop for working. So just, you know, when you're shopping, maybe bring the laptop with you, sit down, picture yourself working there, see if there's a plug nearby to charge the laptop. It's just those little things.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the plug, the USBs, all of those things are little minor inconveniences that will drive you wild if they're not there for you where you need them, right? If you have to move your laptop to a different location to charge it, or get up and put your phone in a different location to charge it, your head's going to feel like it's going to explode. Well, you're going to get aggravated.
One of the RVs we tested had the USB charger right next to the sink. So like your phone would be sitting right there next to the sink. And I'm thinking of it like getting wet.
Yeah, absolutely. So like use those real life circumstances to look at those. Also, remember too that there are fifth wheel options out there with mid rooms that can be used as offices.
Those are awesome offices. Those are also 40 plus foot fifth wheels.
Right. So, but if you're working on the road, if you're going to be traveling a lot, or if you're at a seasonal site and you can do work, you know, in the summer from a seasonal site, I can't imagine a better work setup than that.
I've always thought that some toy haulers are really good for the people that have to work on the road, because you could just literally buy an IKEA desk and set it up and sit in the back of a toy hauler.
Yeah, 100%. Toy haulers are great for that, and people use it that way all the time.
All right, number 8. You need to visualize where all the stuff will go. And I'll never forget once I was doing the seminars at an RV show, and I got there a bit early, and I went into this gorgeous fifth wheel that had the kitchen on the upper level.
Yeah.
Okay, the forward kitchen.
Front kitchen,
they would call it. And I remember I was just kind of watching couples walk in and talk about whether they liked it or not. And everybody's like, oh, this is beautiful. It's amazing. And then this woman walked in with her husband. She looked around. She said, not enough pantry space. And she turned and walked out. And I realized what she was doing was she was packing the RV in her mind with all of the food that she brings on a trip. And she was like, this is not enough. So we say like when you're in an RV and you're shopping, you need to mentally pack your RV with all of your stuff. It's kind of an interesting exercise to do.
Can I tell you, everybody thinks about clothes, but there's a lot of stuff that everybody forgets about. People forget about towels all the time. Like a bathroom, you'd be like, okay, this is a nice size bathroom, and you walk out. Well, then you buy the thing and you bring it home and you realize there's not a single place in the entire bathroom for you to put towels. So now you're keeping towels in a cabinet in another room, or people are installing racks.
We keep our towels above our bed.
Right, above our
bed. Drives me
crazy. Yeah. So you really want to say, is there room for towels here? Or where am I going to keep a little extra bedding? Or where am I going to keep the games? Where am I going to keep all that little extra stuff? Actually is a problem if you don't think about it ahead of time. Another thing that people don't really realize in the kitchen is sometimes they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there were no drawers. You know, I found out, I was mentioning this, I think, to our friend Chris Barth at Jayco, and he goes, Stephanie, drawers are more expensive than cabinets. And I was like,
get out. It makes sense, really.
Yeah. So
there's more moving parts.
In some of the more affordable travel trailers, they put cabinets all over the kitchen and no drawers.
And there's all that dead space in cabinets.
Oh my gosh, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you get the RV and you're like, where am I putting my silverware?
It's very frustrating. Our toy hauler only has, what, two cabinets?
Right, and
two drawers.
But we knew that going in, we're good at this. We knew that storage was going to be a problem for the kitchen because it's a shortened kitchen because of the garage space. And knowing that, we actually had a plan. We have this great shelving system from Cabela's that fit perfectly right next to the kitchen, and it has all of our cups and dishes and everything like that.
Look, it kind of reminds me of some of the reasons why we've loved having a toy hauler, and there's reasons why we don't love having a toy hauler. But the fact that you can kind of personalize a toy hauler, you can actually add furniture to toy haulers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty cool feature of a toy hauler.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Now, number 9. Can you access all the important features in travel mode, or are you okay with not accessing them? This is something that hits newbies like a ton of bricks sometimes.
Meaning when the slide outs are in, can you open the fridge? Can you open the bathroom door?
Can you get to the bathroom?
Can you get to the bedroom? Like, if your slides are in and you can't get to the bathroom, that kind of stinks.
So I actually know people that had that experience with their first travel trailer, because you don't think, when you're looking at a dealership or an RV show, you never think to ask them to bring in the slides so you can see the RV in quote-unquote travel mode. And these people, they bought the trailer, they get on the road, they stop over in the first rest stop, and they realize, oh my gosh, we can't get to the bathroom. And you have to bring out the slide. One of the best benefits of RV travel is using your bathroom instead of a gross rest stop.
And being able to get to your fridge. I mean, it's awesome pulling over at a rest stop and grabbing some cold drinks and making a sandwich. So, I mean, is it the end of the world if you have to put your slide out? I don't know, but it's annoying,
right?
You know?
And then some people also can't get to bedrooms or beds when they're in travel mode. And this is going to be mostly important if you're planning on spending the night maybe in a Walmart or a Cabela's, where you do not want to bring out your slides. Okay, oftentimes, right, that's kind of the agreement there. When you're boondocking overnight in a Cracker Barrel or something like that, you're really not supposed to like set up camp. So, you know, if you want to do that kind of thing, make sure you can access what you need to.
Number 10, figure out what features are really important to you and figure out which ones you can live without. And, you know, we've mentioned this before, but I personally have kind of a weird list of must-haves. I have to have a big awning. I will never buy an RV with a 10-foot or 12-foot awning. I have to have like a 16 or 18-foot awning because I know I want room to sit under my awning and bring all the bikes under the awning if it's raining.
I think that it's good to have a must-have and a nice-to-have list, right? So these are features. You have to distinguish between the features that are deal breakers and the features that, okay, you could live without. I think an outdoor shower might be an example for some people of that. Like, it's nice to have. We use it a lot when we're beach camping. But the bottom line is you can put up a splitter on the water hookup and use one of those hoses with a spray nozzle. And honestly, like,
it
it's not
works
that
better because the outdoor showers always get kind of gross and yucky.
Like, so to me, that might be a nice to have. You know, like, I'm not, we use it, but I'm not going to walk away from an RV because it doesn't have an outdoor shower.
Yeah. Now, like, for instance, I love automatic stability jacks and an automatic tongue jack, but
yes,
I could take an automatic leveling system or leave it.
Yeah, in fact,
you know, like,
we paid for it on our toy haul, and we're both kind of like, whatever, that was a waste of money. We could have, you end up doing it manually so often anyway.
I do. So it's going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody really wants an outdoor TV because they want to watch football Sunday at the campground, and that's fine. Godspeed to you.
So that's,
you know,
then that should be on your
must-have
list. But for some people, it might be, oh, that would be nice, or a fireplace might be nice. But just make sure you really differentiate between those things, because it's just like house shopping. You're probably not going to get every single thing on your
Stephanie,
wish list.
What's something that's on your must-have list when we get another RV at some point?
You're putting me on the spot. I think that
I told you one
my
thing
must-have
me.
Is a separate master bedroom, 100%.
That is big for you.
Yeah, we had a
curtains
on our master bedroom when the boys were babies on our travel trailer. And as they started to get older, I realized that having three boys, I needed my privacy. I needed to be able to shut the door and change in peace without feeling like somebody was going to rip open the door and, like, there I am getting changed and the whole campground just saw me. So I was like, this is very important for me, and I have never looked back on that. I could not go back to having a master bedroom without a door.
And you also want it to be lockable.
Yes.
So when our toy hauler came in last time, it had a real wooden door. It didn't have a lock, so we put a little lock on it. It was almost like a little button boat lock, but it works.
Just to give me luck, it's hard being in an RV with four boys.
Tell me about it.
And I have to have certain things that help me function okay within that context.
That is maybe your prime
must-have. It's my biggest,
Because, like, I, as crazy as it seems, I would get a Murphy bed. I would.
And we tested the Winnebago with the Murphy bed, and I think that for our family, it was just fine.
To
it's just,
like,
I wouldn't do the
travel over great distances and get into state and national parks to have like a 28-foot Murphy bed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm into that.
Yeah.
And you're like, nope,
no.
Not going to happen.
And the same was true with the hybrid that we did, the 23, what is it?
The Jayco J-Feather X213 we took out to Mount Rushmore.
In a lot of ways, it was very comfortable for our family, but it didn't have a private bedroom, and I couldn't function like that on a regular basis.
And that had like a huge bed.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a private bed.
I love
bed.
That king bed.
Oh, so did Wesley.
Oh my
he took
gosh,
the
that might
spot.
Be on your list. A king bed might be on your list, and it probably should be on ours, but it just wipes out too many options for us.
It takes up a lot of space. King bed takes up a lot of space.
All right. So those are our 10 sort of tips for walking through making your punch list of what you want in your next RV model, narrowing down that floor plan, figuring it all out. Head on over to thervatlas.com. You can click through these show notes and see lots of other content we've done on features that people forget to notice when they're RV shopping. I'll put the Facebook Live we did on this topic for Go RVing in the show notes of this episode so you can hear us talk at length about it. Maybe we mentioned
and
other things.
Now, next week's mini episode, I really like this content. I think this is really, really helpful content for people. So we're actually going to talk about the process of shopping for an RV and where to buy an RV and how far you should go or not go,
yeah.
The value of a local dealer or buying at an RV show. I think it's good information.
It's not like buying a car. So tune in next week and we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to the sponsors of this show.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at the RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.